Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the richness of your word. We thank you, Lord God, for what we've already experienced in church this morning, for worship, Lord God, for the fellowship we've experienced. Father, for just the beauty of recognizing again the richness of family and what that represents to you and how you represent yourself to us as your children. And so, Lord God, as we come to your word now, Lord, I know how important your word is. And Lord, I recognize the responsibility I have in presenting your word. And so I pray that your spirit would anoint the words that I say, that you'd give me the grace to be able to say the things that I haven't even written on my notes, and that, Lord God, that there would be just an outworking of your spirit in each person's life. Father, we just give you thanks in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. So there's some notes at the end of the stairwell for those who might want to grab them, because again, what I have to say is pretty heavy or deep or full of stuff, and some people like to write notes, some people like to read them as I go. It will be on the website tomorrow. A couple of weeks ago, Nick shared a great message with us, and she titled her message, Not Afraid to Fear. And I listened to that message. We weren't there. I listened to that message a week later and sat and just bathed in what she was saying and recognized again how rushed she felt, but also how deep and how much is in that area. And God has put a very similar message into my heart today. But Nick said this, and again, I don't know what you guys do, but when I listen to a message, I try and get some of the grit, the nittiness out of it that I can just think about and meditate and muse on. And Nick said, and I'm not quoting it exactly, our earthly fears distract us from our godly fear, because she was talking about having a reverential fear with God. She went on to say, when we are so consumed by the fears of this world, we are robbed from the reverential fear that should be reserved for God. Isn't that a beautiful statement? When we allow our earthly fears to consume us, we are robbed from the reverential fear that should be reserved for God. And then she said, when we make God our supreme authority, the earthly fears lose their authority. And again, I don't know who it was this morning, but somebody spoke about trusting God, about leaning on, relying on God. When we make God our supreme authority, the earthly fears lose their authority. Now, I could stop right there, because that is the sermon in a nutshell. When we make God our supreme authority, the earthly fears lose their authority. This morning, I want to focus on God's antidote to the earthly fears. Those earthly fears that bring us into bondage, that debilitate us to the point that we are robbed from enjoying life to the full. And for those who have been listening to me over the years, you'll know that my passion is seeing people free and enjoying the richness of God in their lives. And the scripture that drives me is John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. If you're being robbed, then it's the enemy that's doing it. And he's robbing you from what God has won for you through Jesus Christ. He's robbing you from enjoying life to the full. And today, as I talk about fear, I'm talking about it from the earthly fears point of view. Those things that are robbing you, those things that are stopping you from enjoying life to the full. Every day we have news reports of things which create fear. And if that's not enough, we also have every man and his dog advertising things. And so often they use fear to get us to buy their products. If you think about it, most news bulletins are built around fear. As I said, advertising uses fear to get us to buy or subscribe to their products. And again, I watch it closely. You think of all the wealth creation advertising that's out there right now. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, you're not going to have enough for this, and you're not going to live happily when you retire. Then our kids, and us, but our kids predominantly are being fed fear at school. And it's happening in every school, because we're teaching them about creation. We're teaching them about climate change. We're teaching them about the doom that the world is facing right now. In fact, I spoke to a young person recently and I asked them what their vision was. And they said, well, I don't really have a vision because I don't think the world is going to live that long. What an incredible thing to have in your mind, that you think that every time we burn a plastic bottle or every time we put a log on the fire, we're creating something that is going to cause the world to die. Luke 21 says, "His hearts will faint from fear and anxiety over what is coming upon the earth." Again, who are we trusting? Sure, climate change might have an aspect of truth to it. But you know that England right now is in the drought of all droughts. It's a climate change disaster, everyone's saying. The last time they had a drought like this was 1936. So they did have one before. It's not something new, it's not something fresh. It's just a cycle that our world is in. And even if it is creating death to our world, wouldn't our God know about it? Wouldn't our God have put into play all the things he wants to do? Climate change. Hobby horse. Do you want to talk about it? No, we won't. What about COVID? What about the new one, monkeypox? Don't you even love the name? There's a new virus that was advertised or said on the news the other day that's coming out of China. And we could go on and on and on. It's just fear, fear, fear. Why? Because fear is one of Satan's tools. And because it is one of Satan's tools, God has the antidote. And he has told us in his word how to walk in victory. In the New Testament, the word fear can be translated in four different ways. The first way is timidity, and you would know these scriptures off by heart, I'm sure. Timidity, talking of nervousness or shyness. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear," timidity, "but of power and of love and of self-control." The second way it can be translated is fearlessly or without fear. Luke 1:74 says that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear or fearlessly. And then the third one, frightened or be alarmed, or as Nick would talk to last a couple of weeks ago, to be in awe or to revere. Matthew 10:28, and says, "Fear not." That's don't be frightened or alarmed by them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear or be in awe or revere him which is able to destroy both soul and body. And then the last one, and the one that we're going to focus on today, is the word terror. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear." That word fear, there is terror in love. "But perfect love casts out all fear," casts out all terror, "because fear," that is terror, "has to do with torment. He that fears, is frightened or alarmed, is not made in perfect love." So the first thing we need to understand is that fear is a God-given emotion that we all experience. We all experience fear, and fear can be positive. Fear can be good. Fear can help us. We need to understand that not all fear is negative. We feel fear when we perceive something is a threat or a danger to our lives. And so what we need to determine first is whether our fears are justifiable or not. If we see a snake on the ground, there is a natural thing that rises up. Well, within me it does, I can tell you. That you don't want to go any closer. Now, I can't say I'm consumed. I can't say I'm in terror. I can't say that I am just have a phobia. But that fear, that natural fear, that natural emotion causes me to go back. Some would have it with spiders. Some would have it with other things. Fear of fire would be another one. The determining thing is that we need to ask ourselves two questions. Is there a real threat or a danger? Or is our fear in balance with that threat or danger? Unfortunately, most of our fears are not based upon a real danger, or if they are, we have let them become out of proportion to the original threat. We've let them grow. We've let them become something that's larger than what they should be, which is again robbing us and finally could be debilitating us from enjoying life to the full. When we let our fear become out of proportion, we then have the potential to be overcome by the spirit of fear. And there is such a thing as a spirit of fear, which can then lead to that fear developing into a phobia, something that we dread, something that just causes us to go into a cold sweat. Examples of this could be things like fear of crowds. Some people have got fear of crowds. Some people have fear of bridges. I can't go over a bridge. I can't go over or in a tunnel. Dentists. Where are they? No, I'm not going to say their name. Doctors, needles, spiders. Some people have a fear of going outside. Some people have a fear of snakes or fire or the dark. Sadly, many suffer from unrealistic fears which plague their lives and rob them from the peace that we are promised in Christ. They've allowed those things to move from something that just caused them a little bit of angst to something that is now a phobia that is pulling them down and driving them. What causes fear? Where do fears stem from? Sometimes fears stem from parental influence. Some of our fears have been learned from the fears of our parents. Now, Chris does not like spiders. We have a bird cage, and often when Chris goes down to feed the birds in the aviary, I hear this, ah! And she's standing back here, and the door is there, and she can see a little bit of a furry leg just hanging out the door. And of course, Graham! Face your fears, lady. Win the war. But it's love. It's love. Perfect love casts out all fear. You know that even though Chris has a fear of spiders, doesn't like spiders, when our kids were growing up, she made certain that those kids, or our kids, did not see her fear. In fact, sometimes she even got a 20-foot broom and got them caught on it, flicked it out. Do you ever notice that those who don't like spiders don't want you to kill them? Graham, can you take that spider outside? Don't hurt it. Mm-mm. Then you take it outside. Past association, sometimes a bad memory can cause fear in some of our lives. When I grew up as a kid, our dentist, you wouldn't think that I'm that old, but our dentist had a treadle drill. Where is the Moltons now? Do you have one of those at your place? No. And the slower he went, the more it caused you pain and the less you wanted to go to the dentist. I don't have a fear of dentists anymore because my dentist gives me the biggest injection you can think of and does it with a fast drill with plenty of water so I don't get friction and heat. You know, again, things change. I don't have a reason to be scared of the dentist anymore. Guilt. Some of us live in unresolved guilt or condemnation, and that causes, it produces fear in our lives. You know, God can't love me. I'm scared of God. Not that reverential fear that Nick was talking about, but that fear of this ogre that's going to punish us. Because we've allowed condemnation and guilt and shame to rob us instead of recognizing that there is no condemnation or guilt. Some fear is attention getting. It starts off with just wanting to get attention. It gets attention and so it grows because it's getting attention and getting more and more and more and more and more attention to the point that we're feeding the fear in the way that we act. At a young age, a person may develop a fear of the dark, a fear of mice, a fear of insects. Again, as parents, if we do not confront that fear, then that fear can finally take grip. I remember Narelle as a young girl was scared of the dark. And so what I did, and I still remember, was at our house in Park Valley Drive. We went outside, we sat on a seat, and we just listened. I said, it was pitch black, there was no moon, and I said, listen. And we heard the crickets, we heard the cicadas, we heard the night noises. And I said, you know that they're animals that God made, He created. We've got nothing to fear in the dark. Yet, of course, the dark being the dark, dark representing often Satan, black, he uses it to try and grab control. We need to bring God into our situations. Once again, if we allow fear to grip us, it then begins to perpetuate itself. Because of our preoccupation with fear, we end up creating the thing that we fear. Job 33:25 says, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." Now, by the way, I fear being a millionaire, okay? "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." We actually allow the cycle to go. Let me give you a fear cycle. You have a bad experience, and that bad experience causes you hurt or pain. You then begin to fear that it's going to happen again, dentist. Our fear preoccupies our attention, disabling us from reacting properly in the situation. We then have another bad experience. Our fear is then encouraged and enlarged. We become unable to separate that fear from the facts of the situation. We then try to avoid the situation. My teeth are falling out. We then try to avoid the situation so that we will not have a repeat of the bad experience. And then we end up fearing the fear experience itself as much as the actual idea or the thing itself. And then if we can't avoid the situation, our fear increases and self-preoccupation causes the cycle to repeat itself. I know that there's quite a number of people that are what I call shut-ins. Their fear is so big and so large in themselves, and it's real in the sense that it's based on some truth. It's based on something that's happened. But that fear is so great now that they are locked inside their house. They will not go outside. I worked with a lady on that many years ago. It took a long time for her to step outside the door, but she had to confront the fear, which meant going back to the start and starting to work out what the lie was, what the truth is. So what are the effects of fear? 1 John 4:18 puts it well when it says that fear involves torment. Remember, terror, the tormentor. It affects our entire life. We become preoccupied with ourselves and our problem. We become anxious, tense, often irritable. Our mind is gripped by thoughts about fear. Our spiritual life is drained because of our self-preoccupation. Our physical well-being can deteriorate. We get headaches, we have high blood pressure, ulcers, etc., etc., etc. Ultimately, the fear destroys relationships to the point that our relationships with other people is virtually non-existent. And so today the good news is that God has given us the antidote to fear. 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our Lord Jesus Christ is our antidote to fear, as He is to everything else. If we are willing to face the enemy, if we are willing to enter the arena God's way, then I can guarantee you that we will triumph. However, to have the victory over fear, our attention must be on God. What was Nick's first statement? Let me go back there. When we make God our supreme authority, the earthly fears lose their authority. To have the victory over fear, we must turn our attention onto God. Our confidence should be in God's word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I'm not going to say that you're going to do it in one bang, but it is a line upon line, step by step process that you will win. So let's look at four areas that we must work on if we're going to have victory over fear. The first one is that truth overcomes fear. John 8, 31 and 32 says, "If you abide in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Can we just have that cross drawing up, please, Pete? Thanks. And by the way, if anyone wants this drawing, can you give the full slide? You can? Good job. Thank you. If anyone wants a cross magnet. You can have it. They're up here. They're for free. If they run out, just come and see me. We'll give you more. This is a great drawing. Leave it up for a little while, Pete. It doesn't have to be on the screen, whoever's doing the screen, but leave it up here. Oh, it doesn't have to be on the stream, but leave it up here. Incredible drawing because it gives you a picture clearly. Satan, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life to the full. So anything that Satan does will ultimately bring forth death, spiritual death in some way, shape or form. Anything that Jesus does will bring forth life. Why? Because he is the life giver, because he is truth. Anything that Satan does is a lie. Why? Because he's the father of lies. Anything that Jesus does is truth because he is truth. Satan uses fear. Fear has to do with torment. Fear has to do with punishment, etc., etc. However, anything to do with fear or the overcoming of fear has to do with love, because perfect love casts out all fear. Who is perfect love? Jesus is perfect love. And then ultimately, that fear that is bringing forth death in your life, that spiritual death, that debilitating aspect, is overcome when we take it through the cross, when we recognize what Jesus has done for us, and that is that he has brought forth life. It's imperative that we face the lie that fear is feeding on. Now, again, see what Satan does. He feeds us a lie that we believe that brings forth the fear. We do this by finding a promise from Scripture or a scriptural truth. So the first thing that we must do always to overcome a lie is to go to the truth. The truth is the Word of God. Jesus is the truth. Find a Scripture that will counter the lie that is causing your fear. Whenever we begin to dwell upon our fear, again, we must immediately go back. And your default cannot be what you've experienced or what you're believing. It has to be the truth. It has to be God's word. Go back, turn your mind back, and go to the truth. We have a great scriptural example in the life of David when he confronted Goliath. David would have been overwhelmed by fear if his attention had merely been on the natural facts. Instead, he saw the situation through the eyes of God. Next to God, Goliath looked small. Next to God, your fears look small. Next to God, Goliath looks small. 1 Samuel 17, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin." And he wasn't looking down, he was looking up, remember. "But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." Let's remember that through Jesus, the Goliath of fear has no power. Now, we're going to come back to that in a little bit more. The second thing that we need to do is love overcomes fear. 1 John 4:18, we've read it before, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear." I remember this scripture, and I remember it extremely well because I was counseling a person who was bound with fear. I mean bound, debilitated with fear. And God revealed this scripture to me, and I had to read it in the Amplified to see it for what it really was about. It revealed the truth that fear and punishment work together. You know, I've said it before, you've heard me say it before. If you're driving down the street and you see a policeman next to you, you immediately go into a cold sweat and your mind does a reverse. What speed am I going? Are my brake lights working? Do I have my seatbelt on? Was I looking at my phone? Did he see me looking at my phone? And when you know all those things are wrong, you immediately think, no punishment. And you sit up straight, you look across. But if you've got a feeling that there's a bit of punishment, i.e. a ticket, you look down. And you go very quiet. Maybe he won't see me. Don't put your foot on the brake. Use your handbrake because your brake lights don't come on. I know them all. I've done them all. 1 John 4:18. And follow the scripture on the screen if you would. "There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached full maturity of love. We'll come back to that in a minute. There's another scripture that explains it well in Matthew 25. It says, "Then the man who had received the one talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered. So I was afraid. I was frightened or alarmed. And I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.'" The man's fear of getting into trouble from the master stopped him, robbed him from doing what the others had done, stopped him from achieving his full potential. Let's just come back to 1 John 4:18 for a minute. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear." Perfect love casts out all fear. As I said when we looked about the cross drawing, who is perfect love? God is perfect love. Jesus is perfect love. Who took away our punishment? Jesus took away our punishment. God, through his Son, is our antidote. So we could use 1 John 4:18 and say it like this: "There is no fear in God. Dread does not exist." Because God turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so is he who is afraid has not reached full maturity of God. Why not full maturity? Because we have not come to the realization, we have not had revelation understanding that our Lord Jesus Christ has paid the penalty, has paid the punishment for us. Hebrews 9, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once on one occasion into the holy place, having obtained eternal forever redemption for us." 1 Peter 3, "For Christ died for our sins once on one occasion for all people, for all sins. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." 1 John 2:2, "He is our atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." And then this rip-snort of a scripture: "The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm." If fear has to do with punishment, then the Bible clearly tells us that Jesus has taken all of our punishment. Every bit of punishment. Forever and forever and forever. Yeah, we might do wrong. Yes, there might be things that happen in our lives. But by bringing it to Jesus, by bringing it to God, and accepting that God has sent his Son to die for us, that his Son has paid the eternal sacrifice for us, bought, paid for with his own blood, our punishment, we have nothing to fear. The key is to be able to accept and appropriate what Christ has done into our situation. Whatever your fear, whatever your situation, whatever you are worried about being punished for, it has already been paid for. Again, illustration I've said before, but you know it well. If I went to the restaurant with you and I said that I was paying for the meal and I got called out and I paid before I left and said, "Finish off, have a dessert, have coffee, whatever," who in their right mind would get up and go and pay for the meal again? Now, I know what you people are like. You're all stingy. You wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it because it's already been paid for. Why do we allow Satan to take us through and to try and make us pay for something that has already been paid for? In full, once and for all, never to ever, 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 ever come back again. Jesus Christ is the antidote to fear. Faith overcomes fear, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith reasons from God and his word, i.e. there is no more punishment. Jesus has taken my punishment. Fear reasons from self, and the circumstances. Fear looks down and gets bogged in the mud. Faith looks up and thanks God for what he's done. Take hold of the truth. You know, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. In short, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the lie? Or are you going to walk through the cross and are you going to believe the truth? Your choice. And then finally, the fourth thing and the last thing, courage to act overcomes fear. Joshua 1:9 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." We can know all the facts, and yet we can still be afraid to act. Until we step forward in faith with right motives, armed with the truth, we will not see victory. In 1 Samuel, we talked about David and Goliath. It says that David ran to meet the Philistine. He didn't wait for Goliath to come to him. He ran towards Goliath. We must be willing to step into the situation, that situation that is associated with our fear. Steph, if you'd like to come up. Remember, the real enemy is fear. It's not the situation. It's not the dentist. Sorry, dentist, by the way, you're getting a bad rap. We need to face it. We need to recognize where it's coming from. As we act courageously, God will give us the strength and the assistance we need. So let's close. The full victory over fear may take time. However, even though it's taking time, don't stop confronting. Keep bringing your thoughts into line. Keep casting down imaginations. Keep casting down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We have the truth, and the truth does set us free. Remember, whatever gets your attention will get you. If your attention is a situation or the circumstance or the fear, then it's going to drag you down. But if you can put your attention on God, it will lift you up. Also remember that the punishment has been paid once and for all. So we have nothing to be fearful of. There is no fear in God. Dread does not exist. God turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. There's people here today and you literally have terror in your life because of the fears that you've allowed to live there. Today they are a lie. And today, through the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you can have the victory. Ask yourself, what is the punishment that I'm fearful of? Because that will give you a very, very quick, clear answer to the thing that is possibly deceiving you, because you might not even recognize it. Once you know what the punishment is, ask, where did that come from? Where did it start from? And then bring Jesus, God, into that situation, right back to the very start. It might have been when you were a small child. It might have been something that happened to you in a relationship, which has made you fear having relationships anymore. It might be something that happened at home. I don't know. But I do know that there's people being robbed today. Remember the cross drawing. Anything that comes from Satan brings forth death. Anything that comes from Jesus brings forth life. He is our truth. He is perfect love. And he wants us to have life to the full. Love is more powerful than fear. Fear is centered in ourselves. Love is centered in God and in others. Would you stand with me, please? We have the whole band, Name Above All Names. And again, I know it's close to time, but I think it's important that we give opportunity for those that are struggling with fear to act. Remember, action is one of the steps of overcoming. And it might be today that you're going to face your fear by firstly admitting that you have fear. and by allowing somebody to at least just pray for you. The prayer might not take the fear away, but it will start the process. It will invite God into the situation and circumstance. You might need ongoing counseling and help to get to the root and the depth. That's okay. We are here to help. But I want to open the altar today to anyone who knows that they are being debilitated, and that's the key word for you, debilitated by fear. Father, I pray that you would overshadow this time right now, and that, Lord God, we would not only put our foot on that word fear, but Lord God, we would shine light, your light, you are light, on that fear. And that, Lord, we would recognize that your perfect love has cast away fear, because as your word says, that fear has to do with punishment. And Zephaniah says that you have taken all of our punishment. God, I thank you that you are our antidote. And I thank you that when we center our attention on you, that, Lord God, those earthly fears lose their authority. God, just have your way right now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.